Well, today we're continuing our series on revealing the champion inside you. How many this week have been in the mirrors telling yourself you're a champion? Anybody done that this week? Who wants to admit it? You know, I did this week. I am a champion, you know. How many know that? It's important that we know that the champion is inside of us, that God has created in every one of us this champion. And we continue to say that there is a champion inside you. Well, Pastor, you don't know me. I'm not a very athletic person. Listen, this has nothing to do whether you're from Texas or not, okay? It has nothing to do with that, okay? This has to do with spiritual things. This has to do with things, the spiritual champion that God's created every one of us to be. It's not about athletic ability or about personality. It's not about, you know, stature. This is about becoming the champion in you, revealing the champion in you that God has designed you to be, has destined for you to be. Today, I want to talk to you about this thought, growing into the champion God designed you to be. Growing into the champion God designed you to be. And I believe this is a very important message today. Matter of fact, it's so important. I can't get it all done today. We're going to talk today, part A, and then I'll finish this message next week in part B. So you're getting part A, then next week you can get part B, because there's so much to be entailed that goes on with this message. But growing to the champion God designed you to be. How many know if a child doesn't grow up, that's a tragedy? It's a tragedy when a child never matures, isn't it? How many know it's also a spiritual tragedy when we have Christians who never spiritually mature? We have Christians who never physically and spiritually mature. And that's a tragedy in the Lord's sight. God wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up physically, mentally, emotionally, and also spiritually. Look what Ephesians 4:14 says here. We are not meant to remain as children. How many love your children? Can you raise your hand? I love my kids, but you know what? I love the day this year when I walk my twins in to kindergarten. I love the fact that they can go to school all day long. I mean, we celebrated. Other parents are crying. My wife and I, we high-fived all the way out the door. We were excited. We did. We celebrated, you know. Yes, I was glad to get that milestone. And, you know, I don't want my kids to grow up overnight. At the same time, I don't want them to stay that age forever. Yeah, they're cute, but you know what? I expect them to mature over time. And this is what the scripture's saying right here. We are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance of the wind of teaching, but we are meant to hold firmly to the truth. Everybody say truth? We're meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and grow up in every way into Christ the head. Two things here, truth and love. They both are important. And then they grow up in every way. Notice the model for perfect maturity in Jesus Christ. It's a fact that we learn to act like Christ. We learn to think like Christ. We learn to imitate Christ. We learn to model Christ. Why? Because he was the only one who was ever perfect. He was the only one who ever walked the blameless walk. And listen, none of us are perfect and none of us ever will be. But yet, we still have the challenge of modeling our life after Christ. He is the model that we are trying to use and we are using as a challenge and measuring stick for our life to continue to grow. I think a lot about your spiritual maturity as your pastor. My father was a minister for all my life and still is a minister to this day. And one of the things that growing up, it really bothered me. It's how people could go to the church week in, week out for several years, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and still be spiritually immature. They could still be so cranky. You know what I'm talking about? You ever seen somebody who's been in church all their life, but yet they still are just cranky people? You ever seen somebody been raised in church all their life and still yet they're very selfish? You ever seen somebody been raised in church, been in church for several years, and they're still very self-righteous, very critical, still very gossipy? I mean, we see all these things in our life, and there's at some point God is calling you and I to step up and to be the champion that he's designed you to be. He's designed me to be. And there should be change. There should be growth in our life over the process. And as a pastor, I know that it's my responsibility to challenge you to grow. It's my responsibility to challenge you. I take spiritual responsibility over the people of this church. Look what 1 Peter 5 and 2 is on the overhead. Let me read it to you. It says, shepherds, this is talking to pastors. The Bible refers to us as shepherds. Shepherds, nurture, guard, and guide the flock of God that he has entrusted into your responsibility. As your pastor, as a shepherd, it means I'm responsible to help you grow spiritually. It says your parents are responsible to help you grow physically. Teachers are responsible to help you grow intellectually, you know, help you learn through education. As a pastor, we are called to help you grow spiritually and to challenge you. And so it's in my frame of thinking that I know that I have to give an account for God of how I challenge you. Do I allow you to continue to be on milk all your life, or do I challenge you to begin to move up to some more solid food? Some of you need to move up to some mashed potatoes and gravy, you know, just a little bit more. And then eventually we get to the steak. How many like steak? I mean, like the meat, potatoes. I mean, we got to get to the real thing. You're not called to be on the bottle all your life, spiritually or physically. That how would it look today if we walked around here today, if I walked up here and I was thirsty and I grabbed a bottle out of one of the diaper bags and started drinking it? Let's just hope that it's formula, okay? This doesn't leave it at that, okay? But how would you feel if I was drinking that bottle? But man, that pastor's pretty immature. You know, he's still drinking the bottle. Well, some of us today, we walked through the door. That's exactly how we looked to God. We walked in carrying our spiritual bottle. Ah. Oh, pastor, he's not preaching to me. If you said that, I probably am. I'm preaching to myself as well. You got one finger out, and you got, you know, three or four pointed back. And today, listen, we are all called to grow and to mature. We were never meant to stay on milk. But God has given us accountability. And as a pastor, I have accountability to know that I'm challenging you to grow. I'm teaching you to grow. You don't have to be perfect to be mature. If that were true, nobody would be here. Nobody would ever be mature. None of us are perfect, and none of us ever will be. There's only one perfect person, that was Jesus, and there'll never be another perfect person. But we know that we're called to imitate him. We're called to pursue him. There are no perfect churches. Destiny Church is not a perfect church. As much as I like to think so and love our church as well as anybody, I know we have our flaws and we're still things we're working on and need to work on. And there's no perfect church in town. But listen, God has not called us to be perfect, but he has called us to grow, to continue to learn, and not to stop growing. You know, it's not about the church size. It's about personal growth. You know, we can grow numerically and never grow spiritually. And we've grown numerically quite a bit over the last almost 3 years now. We've started with 7 families, and we've seen so many people come through these doors, and many of them are coming and making us their church home, and we see people grow. I'll tell you, one of the most exciting things as a pastor is to see someone grow in their walk with God. And I've seen many of you grow. And that's really where we see success as a pastor. It's not necessarily by the numbers, because that numbers obviously will follow certain things that are happening. But yes, numbers in itself are not gratifying. It's when we see spiritual growth as a pastor that it becomes gratifying, knowing that God is working in people's lives. Marriages are getting stronger. People are getting wiser. People are more sensitive to what the leading of the Holy Spirit in their life. They're more trusting in the Lord. They're trusting God for more areas in their life. They're using their talents for God. As we see people being matured, it's a process of development of seeing, you know what? There is a champion inside every one of us, and we're learning to reveal that, allowing God to reveal it in us. How many know we don't measure the size of our army by what's in the mess hall? We don't measure the effectiveness of the front line by what's happening in the mess hall. We know success by what's happening out in the front lines. We know how many guys we got out there in the trenches. I mean, that's really where the rubber meets the road. Same thing happens here. We don't measure our success purely on who's here today on Sunday morning. But it goes beyond that. How many people we have out in the front lines that are actually using the giftings that God's given them? How many people are actually living the life and saying, you know what, I want to grow my relationship with God. I want to leave here, and I want to represent Christ in such a credible way. I want to represent Christ when I leave here in a way that's pleasing to him and that points people to know that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. How are we doing at that? That's really the real question. And I can tell you that I take a lot of joy because I see that happening in a lot of your lives. And some of you, you just started coming, so I don't know exactly where you're at. But I know one thing, if you will come in and say, you know what, I want to grow, that you'll be challenged to grow. that we'll never allow you to grow complacent here. We'll never allow you just to sit in the pew and say, you know what, you're going to get fat and happy spiritually. We're going to challenge you to use spiritual muscle. We're going to challenge you to become the champion that God has called you to be. It's a process of maturity. We all are called to grow in this relationship with Christ. You know, when I first started the church, one of the things that I said very, very early on was I didn't want anybody to call it Gene's Church. And that was something that's kind of natural happens when you start a church. Naturally, people say, I'm going down here to, you know, to Gene's Church. And one of the things I said from the very beginning, let's make sure we don't call it Gene's Church. Those of you who are here at the very beginning, what do we call this church? God's Church. That's right. It's also to say, whose church is this? Whose church is this? That's right. And you know what? When we do that, how many know as a pastor, man, that still takes a lot of relief off of me. Because if this is my church, we're in trouble. Let's be honest. If this is my church, we're in trouble. You guys, you're in trouble. What are you doing here, you know? But how many know it's something about God's church that is all right? Because God said what? He said, who will build it? God said, I will build my church. Isn't that an awesome thing? God said, I will build my church. And so I made a covenant with God when we started the church. God, I will build your people and I'll let you build the church. God, we will invest in people. We will love in people. We will disciple people. And I'll let you build the church. And all along, I tell you, we haven't sweated anything. We have just invested in people's lives. We have just invested in relationships, in loving people, discipling people, challenging people to grow. And we've allowed everything else to happen according to God's plan. And I believe that God's got a great vision for this church. We have a vision. We know where God's taking us. We see the site hosting multiple services full. We know that eventually God will give us land. We'll be a place where we're going to build a multi state-of-the-art facility down the road when the time is right. But listen, I'm not worried about that. God's going to build that church. I'm called to build people. And God will build the church, all right? And so today, look at your name and say, God's going to build you. God's going to build the church. And so it's my job as a pastor to build people and to challenge you to grow. You know, how many guys in here who, or ladies, how many have ever coached kids in any level? Baseball's going on. How many coach baseball or basketball? You guys tell me, what's one of the most important things in coaching that you can do as far as every day in practice? What are the things that you want to practice over and over again? What is it? Fundamentals. You know, in baseball right now, my boy is going out for baseball, and he's practicing, and they're practicing fundamentals. You know what they practice the first practice? Fundamentals. You know what they practice last practice? Fundamentals. You know what they're going to practice next week and the week after that? It's fundamentals. It's the same thing. Constantly instilling in these young athletes that it's important that we get the fundamentals down, because if we're going to mature, if we're going to become a great or even successful at the sport we're playing, it's important that we know the fundamentals right side and left side. When we know it right there, it should be instinct that we know the fundamentals. We need to know that basic things. When they go out there the next game and they do the fundamentals, great. Do you say, all right, we got it down. Let's go on to something else and never go back and revisit your fundamentals? No. Just because we do it right doesn't mean we revisit the fundamentals over and over and over again, because it's important that we continue to challenge ourselves to get the fundamentals right. The same thing as a pastor, is it's important that I challenge you that we continue to put the fundamentals of the Scripture at work in our life over and over and over again. And when you're doing good, I'm going to come back and challenge you again. All right, we can do it a little bit better this time. And let's take it up a step. Let's take it up a notch. Let's try to do it a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, a little bit better. You know, we're constantly pushing each other to learn the fundamentals. We're constantly learning to be the foundational Christian that God has called us to be. God's going to build this church. We're going to build the people. I like what Colossians 1:28 says. We continue to preach Christ to each person, using all wisdom to warn and to teach each other, in order to bring each one to God's presence as a mature person in Christ. What a goal. We continue to preach Christ to each person, using all wisdom to warn and to teach everyone, in order to bring each one to God's presence as a mature person in Christ. I want to be a mature believer. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be mature. Now, come on, don't laugh at your spouse for saying that. Turn to them again and say, I want to be mature in Christ. We are called to be mature in Christ, to grow. And he's asked me to be your coach. So if you've chosen to be on this team, he's asked me to be your coach, to be your shepherd, to challenge you to grow. So how do you do that? How do you grow into the champion that God intended you to be? That's the million-dollar question. How do we do that? How do we grow into the champion God's intended us to be? Let me give you some myths and some things we need to talk about before we get into the meat of this. In order to do that, you have to understand what causes growth. We've got to understand what causes us to grow into the champion God's called us to be. There's a lot of things about myths that we have out there about this Christian walk that cause us to grow. And the first myth is, first of all, growth is automatic. But the fact is that you can grow older without growing up. You know that? You can grow older without growing up. How many people know what I'm talking about? We have people who have advanced in age, but they have never matured. The same thing can happen spiritually. You can be an older in your walk with God. You can be older and be in the church a long time, but have never grown spiritually, because spiritual growth is just not automatic. It's not automatic. The fact is, it's a choice. Spiritual growth is a choice. There's a myth that growth is instant, that it happens instantly. The reality is there's no magic pill that causes you to grow overnight. I mean, we're really into that, aren't we, society? Anything that says, you know what, you take this pill and you lose weight in 2 days, you know, right now for $19.99, this bottle, man, I lost 40 pounds on this thing, man. Give me the pill. Give me the product. You know, we order it. We're ready to take it. That's what we are. We're made society that wants a quick fix. And be honest with you, there's no quick fix when it comes to growing spiritually as well. There's no magic pill. It takes a process. The fact is, it takes a process. There's another myth that says you can grow just by attending church alone. Some people think, if I can just go to church, then I'm going to grow. And I would tell you this, that just attending church alone would not grow you. Oh, it helps you, and yes, it'll get you on the right track of going, but just coming to church alone by itself is not going to cause you to grow spiritually. The more meetings I come to, the more I'll be spiritually mature. And just coming to meetings, and you know, what did Christ say? He said, I've come that you might have life. That you might have life. He didn't say, I come that you may have meeting after meeting after meeting. He said, I come that you might have life. And what that means is this, that Christ came to impact our everyday life, And so the fact is, we got to develop spiritual habits. We've got to develop spiritual habits. Just by coming to church alone is not do it. If I want to grow into the champion God's called me to be, I got to learn to develop daily habits that will help me grow. You don't judge the strength of an army. We already talked about this, by the strength of the people inside the mess hall, the ones in the recruiting office. You measure by who's out there, who's out there on the front lines. That's how we know who's out there. Let me give you another myth here. You can attain maturity on your own, by yourself. Some of us think, we can do it all alone by myself, I can grow. And the fact is, you need other people in your life to grow. You need others to help you grow. You know, other religions teach you just the opposite, that you grow by isolation. You grow by going to a hilltop somewhere and, you know, isolating the world and meditating. And, you know, Christ came and he slammed that down the drain real fast. And he's like, no, you grow by developing, by being around other people, getting plugged in with other people who can help you grow. Jesus taught us that growth happened in places. Man, Jesus was everywhere, wasn't he? He was at the parties. He was in the marketplace. He was in the synagogue. He was on the hillside. I mean, you name it, Jesus was there. You look through the scripture and find out where he was doing his miracles, where he was teaching, what he was doing. You see that his behavior had him in all different kinds of places. He was not isolated on the hill somewhere talking to the Father 24/7. But he was out with real people, real relationships. And so if you want to grow, you got to know that he was out there. You can't do it alone. Another myth is that you measure spiritual growth by how much you know. And listen, I've met a lot of people who know the Bible, but really don't know the Bible. They can quote scripture, but they have no idea what that scripture means in their own life. It's not enough just to know scripture and to quote scripture, but do you really know what that scripture really means in your life, and do you actually live it? Oh, pastor, I believe in the whole Bible. then why do you only live half the Bible? He didn't just say that, did he? I know he did. Let me say again. Oh, Pastor, I believe in the whole Bible. Then why do we only live half the Bible? Just a thought. If you believe it, we'll live it, okay? So it's not enough just to believe. It's also behavior that follows our belief. I got to believe it, but I also got to behave and let my actions outside follow up with my beliefs. Growing up in church, I discovered a lot of people had a lot of knowledge. But some of these people were the most judgmental people I've ever met in my life. Some of the most religious, critical people I've ever met in my life. Oh, they had all kinds of Bible knowledge, but they had not gotten to the heart. It had not given a revelation of who Christ really was. They're more hung up on religiosity. They're more hung up on rules and regulations. They're more hung up on do's and don'ts than they were about what Christ really came to do in their life. See, it's not enough just to grow with knowledge. You got to put it into practical use. You know, one time Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and that's what he said to them. The Pharisees, you know, if you know what the Pharisee was, they had to be a Pharisee, you had to actually memorize and quote the first five books of the Old Testament. That's not an easy task. They called it the Torah. And to be a Pharisee, you had to memorize and quote. So these guys, they could quote the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. And Jesus walked up to him one day and he said, "Hey, you Pharisees, you don't even know the Bible." Can you imagine? Don't you just love Jesus? I love Jesus for that. He said the one thing I've always wanted to say, you know. He walked to these Pharisees, took a quote of Scripture and says, "Listen, you don't know Scripture. You don't know the Bible." Can you imagine their thought? Well, where'd I get this funny hat at then? You don't give his hats out unless you know the five first books of the Bible. You don't get them at Burger King. You got to memorize them, baby. I know the first five books of the Bible. And Jesus said, "You don't know." He goes, "You got your noses up in the air thinking you're all spiritually pious here, you know. You got it all figured out." He says, "You don't know." He was challenging the core belief system. They thought they could grow just by memorizing Scripture. Because they were not practicing in their life, there was no maturity. Because they had no revelation and change of heart, there was no maturity. Yeah, the word was there, but they were not applying it. They were not allowing to use them to change who they were. Instead, they used it to escalate themselves above higher than they should be. What's another myth? Another myth says that maturity shows up in how you act at church. You're mature according to how you act at church. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. How are you today? Oh, I'm great. And all the time, you're getting here yelling at your kids, kicking your wife in the door. "Come on, we're going to be late. Get out of here." You know, we're yelling and we're running to get here and walking the door. "Oh, hallelujah. Bless you. Good to be here." You know, we all do that. Isn't it natural? You know, you argue all the way here with your wife about what happened yesterday and where you're going at, what's going on after church today, and you walk in the door. "Hi. Oh, everything's just fine. We're doing this great. We're doing great. It's great." Real maturity is not how we act at church. Let's be honest. Real maturity is not how we act at church. Real maturity is measured on how we act at home and in the real world. And I tell you this, the more I realize this, the more that I look at myself in the mirror, I realize that, man, I've got a lot of maturing to do still. There's nothing that will cause you to see in the mirror like five kids that will teach you, I'm really growing spiritually. You can fake it maybe with one kid, but man, you get five kids, you can't fake it, okay? You're going to be pushed in every area of your life. And so I know this, that I've still got some areas I need to mature in my life, spiritually and physically. I got some things I need to work on in my marriage. I got things I need to improve on, and I don't get that by just coming to church and saying, "I'm the pastor here, so I'm mature." No, it's when I leave here, how am I really maturing? That's really where it matters the most. So we're talking about things. So how is this fact? And what is really spiritual maturity? It's two things. According to James 1:27, let's read it. James 1:27 says, "Pure and lasting religion in the sight of God means that we must care for the orphans and the widows in their trouble and refuse to let the world corrupt us." Pure and lasting religion. What's he saying? He's saying this is spiritual maturity. He's saying it's a twofold. First of all, it's personal integrity, not letting the world corrupt us. personal integrity. I don't let the world corrupt me, but I stand for what I know is right. And also, I have a charity heart. It's charity. Was he just limiting what we do to the widows and orphans? No, they represented a people group. What he was saying was, you need to minister to those who need help. That's it. There's no greater people who needed help in those times than the widows and orphans. So he was using them as an example to set the tone that, listen, real mature people, don't let the world corrupt them, and they help those who need help. That's a mark, that's the benchmark we use to spiritual maturity. Knowing that God is growing. So how do we do this? How do we reach this? How do we know that we're getting to a place of spiritual maturity? Pretty clear. I think it's called what? Fruit. Fruit. How do you know you're getting to become the champion that God's called you to be? We see it through fruit in our life. How many know that a tree, an apple tree, does not reach maturity until it does what? Produces what? Apples. You mean when it has leaves out and branches, it's not mature? No. An apple tree is not considered mature until it produces apples. A tomato plant is not considered mature until it produces tomatoes. And so, same thing, we are not considered mature in Christ until we produce spiritual fruit. So how do we do this? That's the million-dollar question. And we're just going to get to the first part of this today, and I'm going to finish it up next week. So don't worry when I tell you we're going to go over 8 points, okay? So some of you guys today are like, wow, Pastor, you really are serious about this thing today. I am very serious about it today. I've been spending the most of my time giving you an introduction today. But the first thing I want to talk to you about when it comes to knowing 8 ways to grow into the champion God has designed you to be, first thing you got to know is this, that spiritual growth is intentional. It is intentional. It's not accidental. Spiritual growth is not accidental. It is intentional. You must intend to grow. You must make a choice to grow. Spiritual growth is a choice. You must choose to grow. I don't know how to say this any clearer than what I'm going to say right here. You are, listen to me, you and me, we are, you are as close to God right now as you want to be. Let me say it again. We are as close to God right now as we choose to be. I just don't feel like I'm very close to God right now. I just don't feel like I'm very mature. Well, I will say to you today, and my challenge to you is that you're as close as you have chosen to be. We can go home right now. I've preached enough right there, isn't it? Isn't that good? We are as mature as we have chosen to be. I am as close to God as I have chosen to be. We grow by making commitments. And one of my goals as your spiritual coach and shepherd is to continue to challenge you to take deeper commitments and levels in your life, not to allow you to stay where you're at. And this happens when you make a choice to grow. You're as close to God now as you want to be. Well, Pastor, where'd you get this idea that people move through stages in Christianity? I think once you accept God as your Savior, that's it. That's all you need to do. And there's no stages. We're all one. And, you know, we're all mature. We're all the same level. Then let's just look at what Jesus did here. I think this is pretty clear. Jesus started his public ministry, and he worked for 3.5 years before he went to the crucifixion. And Jesus was walking along the road one day, decides it's time for me to start my public ministry. And he sees a couple of his disciples, and what's he say to them? Hey, yo, come and see. How many know that's pretty much a general thing? You know what? If Jesus walked up to you and said, hey, come and see what's going on, how many think that you could do that? That's a pretty easy intro level, isn't it? It's kind of the same way here at Destiny Church. That's what we ask. You know, hey, just come and see. Just come and see that God's good. We don't ask people to come in. When I talk to somebody at church on the street, I don't talk to, hey, we want you to come in. We expect you to be involved in a small group in 2 weeks and serving in the ministry. And within 6 months, we're going to have you in children's ministry. And then pretty soon, we're going to have you. We don't go through this whole process. No, when I meet someone on the street, I'm inviting to church. What I say, come and see. We got some cool worship. And, you know, the pastor's all right. I don't tell them I'm the pastor. I say, the pastor's okay. Just come and check it out. That's why I tell you, just come and check it out. And my lines, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You came here, didn't even know I was a pastor until you walked in the door. Come and see. Come and see. That's what Jesus said. He said, come and see. And these guys came, and they went. And over time, as he developed his disciples, he went from come and see to talking to them, maturing them. His his message changed over 3 years. He went from come and see to, hey, listen, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must first, what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. Can you imagine him saying it the first day out there? Hey, guys, deny yourself. Take this painful cross and come after me, man. He's like, whoa, we're getting out of here, you know? It's not a very inviting thing. So Jesus, first of all, what he says, come and see. Just come and see. Come and see that, you know, I'm good and I'm of the Father. Just come and see what God wants to do in your life. And we see Jesus taking them through stages in their life, through teaching and through miracles and through time alone with him. He spent all of his time pouring into them. And at the very last, he's like, listen, man, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. I mean, they're thinking, whoa, cannibalism here. No way. And people were scared. Matter of fact, he was talking to the crowd. And the word of God says that people heard him say that and they were scared and they ran off because they didn't understand what he was saying. He didn't mean it as cannibalism. He was talking about in spiritual concepts, the Lord's table, partaking of who he was. And he looked at the disciples and said, are you going to run too? Are you going to run with them too? And he said, no, Jesus, we'll follow you to the ends of the world. Wherever you go, we're with you. Why? Because they were taken through stages of maturity. See, God has always intended all along that we come from stages of maturity in our life, and it happens by a choice. It happens. I choose to follow after him. I choose to grow in him. It's a choice. You know that 95% of what we hear today, according to the Naval Academy, tells us that 95% of what we hear today will forget within 72 hours. Let me tell you, as your pastor, that makes me feel really good. You know, it's just, and I'm the same way, you know. Some of us are only 72. Some of us takes about 6 hours, and we forgot it, you know. I had somebody ask me one time, Pastor, I think we need to be teaching more on Sunday nights and this and that. I said, listen, when we start doing what we teach on Sunday morning, then we'll talk about Sunday night. Of course, we know Sunday nights are designated for our small groups and home groups, and we value that. But the point of the fact is this, we have a hard time comprehending, applying to our life what happens on Sunday morning, more or less offering six different messages during the week. So how do we do that? We got to choose to grow. How do you choose to grow? I wonder today, how many people are taking notes? That's a choice. How many are taking notes? Well, Pastor, I don't learn when I take notes. I say, you're definitely going to learn without it. I know some people have a hard time taking notes and paying attention at the same time. So for you, don't take a lot of notes, but write down the scriptures. Write down the points. Go out this week. Buy you a journal. Buy you a notebook. That you say, you know what? I'm going to take notes. Every time I bring my Bible, I'm bringing that notebook. I'm going to take notes, and I'm going to study because I'll forget if I don't. And throughout the year, you can take it, open up it up, that notebook, and see where God's been speaking to you all year long. You can go back and reference a message. You can go back and study. I mean, it's a choice to grow. Who's going to pass the test? The person who studies. Who has a better chance of making a better grade? Those who are inside a study group or those who are by themselves not studying? There's a reason why we have study groups in college and high school. Why is that? Because we want to pass the test. We want to make good grades. And so the same thing happens. You know, we get involved in a small group. I'm getting involved in a study group because I need to learn. I need to grow. It's a choice I make. As I'm teaching my children, good grades are a choice. You got to choose. You want to make good grades. Now, I know there's exceptions. There's a few people out here who are freakishly smart, and you just look, and you can pass the test, okay? And we say to you, nah, we don't like you. But to the rest of us, the majority of us, we have to study, and we got to get involved in study groups because we want to pass the test. It's important that we get involved in a study group, in a small group. Get involved and we take notes. Growth is a choice. So, ladies, this is your assignment this week. If you don't have this already, ladies, when you go to the store this week, you buy for yourself and your husband. If you have a teenager, buy for them also. Buy them their own personal book with a pen. Can you believe that? What a great gift, honey. Let's grow together this week. We're going to take notes and bring that with you. And begin to start that journal of taking notes, at least some sort of notes in the message. I don't want you, don't worry about getting every word I say and You don't have to get every little thing on the overhead, but just getting the basis of it down so that you can go back and review it. It's a choice to grow. I have got to choose to grow. And let me close with this last thing right here, this point right here. Spiritual growth is intentional. You got to have a plan. Spiritual growth is intentional. You got to, not only is intentional, but it's also having a plan. Number two, it's having a plan. Spiritual growth is having a plan. You got to have a track. You got to know where you're going. You got to plan for growth. If you say, I'm going on a diet, you got to have a plan. I don't say I'm going on a diet tomorrow and don't have a plan. How am I going to go on a diet tomorrow? By going home today, writing out a list for the week. These are the foods I'm going to eat. These are the groceries I'm going to buy. This is the exercise I'm going to do. And I got to stick to my plan. How many of us have said I'm going to be on a diet this week and we never do another thing? I mean, I've been right there. This week starts my diet. And we don't put a plan together, and it doesn't work. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago in our Wednesday night class. We were talking about dealing with temptation. I won't name the person who brought this illustration up. But we talked about, you know, if you're tempted to eat Oreo cookies when you feed them to the kids, you know what I'm talking about, the double-stuffed Oreos, big, tall glass of white, cold milk. And if you're struggling with a diet and you don't want to eat those, but when you serve them to the kids, you can help them eat them, how do you overcome that? You have two options. Number one, don't feed them to the kids. But they're kids. They deserve it. They'll run it off. It's no big deal. Okay, then what's your second option? Second option is that before I serve the kids, I make sure that I fill up with a glass of water and I eat a bunch of fruit. So when I serve the kids, I'm not hungry and tempted to eat those. It's a plan. We got to have a plan. And growth comes with a plan. You got to have a plan saying, I want to choose to grow. I'm going to plan out that I'm going to grow. I'm going to do these things in my life that are going to lead to growth. I'm putting together a plan of action. Get organized. I know that's a hard thing for some of us, but we got to be organized. And say, you know what? I want to grow. I'm intentionally deciding to grow. You know, we have an order set here at Destiny. I believe that growth doesn't just happen overnight. There's a growth that comes, and let me give this to you. Not this is the way we grow. Basically, this is what it is. It's very clear. We grow in our relationship with God through this. First of all, we know in Christ. Then we come to loving Christ. You got to first know Him. Then you got to learn to love Him. Then you got to learn to grow in Him. And then you learn to serve Him. Then you learn to share Him. You got to have a plan. I've got to know who He is. And then once I know who He is, then I learn to love Him. I learn to accept His love for me on the cross. I learn to give my life to Him. Then I want to grow. I want to learn to find out more about who Jesus is in my life, what He came to do in my life. I learn to grow in Him. Then I learn to serve. I want to serve people. I want to help people who need help. I want to help the children. I want to help the teenagers. I want to help anywhere I can. I want to help serving people. And then I want to share His love with others when I leave this place. You know, at Destiny Church, we have a plan also. We call it the four R's, and I haven't talked about them in a long time, and I want to bring them up again today because I believe it still comes back to these four things. This is our plan for growth for you. First of all, we want to reach people. How many know it's important to reach people? It's important to be like Jesus. Hey, come and see. Come and see. That should be our goal. Come and see. Everywhere we go, if people aren't going to church somewhere, if people are spiritually dead where they're at, that should be the very testament of who we are. Pastor, I can't preach a message. I have a hard time just talking to people. Listen, how many can remember this message right here? Jesus preached it right here. Come and see. That's real hard, isn't it? Hey, just come and see what's happening. God's doing something in my life. You and your family would love it over here at Destiny Church. Come and see what God's doing. Just come and see. We got to reach people. We got to be creative in how we do things. That's why we're using video and lighting, because we're trying to reach people. We're trying to get them to open up their heart to worship. And how many know it's a lot easier to worship sometimes when the lights are dim and you're not conscious about what's going around you. You're not thinking about who's looking at me, who's not looking at me. And so it's important that we set the mood and allow you to enter into worship. So we want to reach people. We want to retain them. After we reach them, we want to keep them. That's an important thing. We want to continue to keep people. And it's important that we keep people, retain them. We want not only to come and visit, but we want us to come back and visit. So we want to try to keep them, retain them. And then once we retain them, they're coming here on a regular basis. Then number three, we want to reproduce in them. We want to reproduce in them. It's important that we reproduce in each other. How do we do that? Sunday mornings is a great way. We teach you. We're going to challenge you. Wednesday nights, we offer different classes that can be offered to reproduce in you. Small groups is a big, big part. Come, be a part of those. Let people reproduce in you and you reproducing them, talking to them, challenging them to be a better Christian, challenging them to grow, to be a better father, a better mother, a better student, a better employer. We've got to reproduce in each other. We've got to continue to allow God to grow us. And then once we grow, then we've got to release people to ministry. Release them to ministry. So you see the process. We want you to come. We want to reach you. Come and see. And then when they come and see, we say, listen, you need to stay here. You belong to the family of God. God wants you here. And they say, you know what? I can grow here. And they make a commitment to stay. And then we start discipling them. We start pouring into them. We start sharing God's love with them. Start challenging them. And at some point, they reach a place of maturity. We say, you know what? You need to get involved in ministry. You need to serve. You need to be teaching our children. You need to be teaching the babies. You need to be teaching the teenagers. You need to be driving, doing this. You need to be cooking meals for the sick. You need to be visiting people in the hospital. You need to be involved in a small group. You need to be leading the small group. You need to host a small group. I mean, you need to be involved in ushering greeting. You need to be involved in things that allow you to share the giftings that God's given you. It's a process. It's a process of maturity that every one of us are called to. God never meant for us just to come to church. And that's just not good enough. He wants to take you to a new level. Now, some of you, you're at the come and see stage today. I'm going to close with this thought here. I'm not going to give you any more. We're going to continue this next week, okay? Got some very good things to just challenge you with. That I believe that God's going to challenge your heart with. Learning to see the champion that God has designed you to be. It's intentional. It's intentional. You got to choose it. You got to have a plan of action. And God never meant for you just to come to church and that's it. But some of you are in that stage. You're in the come and see stage. And you're just checking it out. And you're saying, you know what? I could be connected here. I like this church. People are friendly. I feel God's spirit here. And so you're at that place of making the commitment. Most of you here today, you're at that place. You've already been reached and you've already kind of made a commitment. You want to be here. Now you're at point number three of allowing God to mature you. Some of you have been at point number three for a long time. I'm not knocking you for being point number three for a long time, but I'm here as your coach to say, you know what? It's time to start using some of the spiritual giftings that God's given you. It's time for you to grow, and you'll only be able to obtain so much knowledge until you use it, okay? I mean, you can only take so much in until you start using it to become practical. And as you use it, then it makes more sense to you. As you use God's love and you share God's love and you use your abilities, and then God opens that up and then allows for more to come in. But I'm not called to be a spiritual storehouse where I just store up all this knowledge, all this training, all these blessings. I'm called to get them in me so I can what? Get them out. How many know that God will give it to you if he can get it through you? Isn't that a good saying? God will get it to you if he can get it through you. So I'm challenging you as your pastor, as your spiritual shepherd, coach, whatever you want to call me. I'm challenging you. Allow the champion that God designed you to be to rise up. For some of you, I've seen that. Some of you came in the doors. You thought, man, this music's so loud. They stand during worship. I had never been to church. They stood during worship. Look at them clapping their hands. Whoa, they're raising their hands. Well, that's kind of spooky right there. You're laughing. You know what I'm talking. I'm just, you know, just, some of you come in with that whole thought, but we never pressured you. We allowed you to be you and allowed God to work on you. And now it thrills my heart during worship. I look back and I see some of you who never even stood up in worship before with your hands raised and tears coming down your face. You just say, God, I love you. So I see God maturing you and growing you. Some of you said, you know what, Pastor, I'll come to church, but I'll never be involved. I just want to come to a place where I can sit down. Now I see you using your giftings. And I say, you know what? I'm ready, Pastor. I'm ready for God to use me again. You're using your giftings and allowing God to help you. You're opening up your home. You're teaching. You're sharing. You're supporting ministry. Why? Because God's taking you to a different stage. Every one of us have got to go to stages, but it's got to be intentional, and you've got to have a plan. Got to have a plan. I believe today that I want to challenge your pastor. As your coach, you say, you know what? Let's don't settle. Let's don't settle for mediocrity. Let's don't settle. I don't want you to get to heaven and say, God, I know I brought my spiritual bottle with me, but you know what? I love this bottle. I've had this bottle for 30 years. Now I want you to say, Pat, God, I love you, and I grew in you. I grew in you. And we're going to talk about the balance of the growth and some other things next week. But my challenge to you this week is make it intentional. Make it intentional. I'm going to grow. I'm as close to God now as I choose to be. How close do you want to be to God? How close do you want to grow? How much do you want to grow? How much do you want to mature? It's a choice. Get a plan of action. Say, I'm going to grow. Make that plan out. Some of you need to write it out. I'm going to begin to do some things in my life that are going to help me grow. I'm just going to just get by. It's a process. Some of you need to go from point three to point four. You've been on point three a long time. Some of you need to be helping out in preschool and children. Some of you need to have some ministries inside you that you need to start that have never been started here at Destiny Church. Some outreaches, some things that God has placed in your heart that you've done in the past or you've never done yet. And you keep waiting, you keep waiting. See, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to take another step in God. I'm going to allow my giftings to be used for God. The passion He's given me. Get involved. Use your giftings for God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today that we can come into your presence, Lord, with thanksgiving in our heart. We can come in and just worship you. God, thank you. You've called every one of us to grow. You've challenged us to grow and to be the champion in our lives you called us to be. Every head bowed, no one looking around. I want to make sure there's nobody here today that you say, Pastor, you're talking about all these stages, and I'm still at the come and see stage. And today, I need to make a choice that I want to serve God. I just need to make a choice that I want to live for Him. And today, but nobody's looking, you say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior today. I'm choosing that step, first of all, before I do anything else. I've got to choose that step of living my life for Him. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or today you've made that choice, but you've been so far away from Him that you haven't lived for Him for several years, for a long time, you say, I want to come back today and get back on the right track, giving God my heart. Can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to make that commitment today. No one's looking but me. Thank you. Anybody else today? You say, that's me. You can raise a hand high. It's fine. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Let's say this prayer today. So we had two people who raised their hands today who said they wanted to make sure their relationship with God is right. So let's all say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you my sins. I give you everything I am. I give it to you. I will serve you. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, it meant that we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, amen. You're coming out of that come and see stage. Now you're making, say, you know what? I want to make the next step, number two. I want to make a step of staying here, being committed. Today, that prayer is just the starting point. It's not the ending point. It's the starting point of a new journey. You begin to turn away from the person you used to be and say, God, I want to pursue to be more like you. And that comes when you get involved. You got to be here faithful to church. You need to be faithful to church and you get involved in a small group of people who can help you grow, who can help reproduce in you the fruit that God has intended you to be. Today, if you say, Pastor, I want to intentionally make a choice to grow. I want you to stand to your feet where you're at today. So, Pastor, you're preaching today by making a choice. Today, if you want to make that choice, I want to intentionally make a choice to grow to the person God's called me to be. I want you to stand where you're at today. Putting a lot of pressure on you, I know. And if you're not standing today, don't feel any condemnation on our part. But I want you to make that choice today. Say, Pastor, I am choosing to stand up and say, I am choosing to make a choice to grow unto the person God's called me to be. I want to pray for you today. I believe God's Spirit's going to do something in you this week. We're going to close out the service in prayer. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person who's standing up today, every person who says they are making an intentional choice to follow after you, to serve you, to grow into the champion you called them to be. God, I pray that, Father, this is a choice. We are as close to you as we have chosen to be. So now we are choosing no longer to isolate you throughout my day. No longer just to talk to you on Sundays. No longer just to read your word when I'm in trouble. no longer just to pray for you and pray to you only when I'm in a crisis. But God, I pray that every day I'll make a conscious choice to grow closer to you. I'll talk to you about the things that are going on in my life. I'll talk to you about the things I'm struggling with. I'll go to you and I ask of you the things I have need of. And God, I'm making a conscious choice that I am going to grow closer to the Lord. I am going to mature in my walk with Jesus Christ. I am refusing to stay spiritually immature, and I am taking steps to spiritual maturity. It's a conscious choice that we're making today. It's an intentional plan that we're choosing to follow. According to your word, we say yes to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you for staying with us today. Have a great week. If you can be here Wednesday night, we'll see you Wednesday night. Amen.